You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today we're looking at the future of America's most iconic landscapes, from the deep blue waters of Oregon's Crater Lake to the rugged peaks of Lassen Volcanic National Park in Northern California. While these areas see millions of visitors each year, they are currently facing a staggering $35 billion deferred maintenance backlog. In 2020, the Great American Outdoors Act established the National Parks and Public Lands Legacy Restoration Fund to address these repairs. It provided more than $9 billion without using taxpayer dollars. However, that fund expired in August 2025, and that left the future of critical restoration projects in Oregon and California in limbo. Joining me to discuss the push for the fund's renewal is Rebecca Nufke, a senior officer for conservation at the Pew Charitable Trusts. Rebecca, welcome to the Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, Mike.
Well, I hear the figure of $35 billion cited as deferred maintenance backlog. What is the current state of our national parks?
That's correct. And that backlog actually includes Department of Interior projects, for example, BLM lands, also Fish and Wildlife lands, and Bureau of Indian Education. And Forest Service also receives legacy restoration funds as well. And thanks to your great setup, my work is much simpler here. We have still quite a backlog, and this came about because of years of underfunding and aging infrastructure in our parks and public lands. And this happens, folks know, you know, with their homes and every building, every type of infrastructure, they have a lifespan, and many have already surpassed their expected lifespans. And so we have deferred maintenance across the country. And the Legacy Restoration Fund was established to help try to draw down that backlog. It was never intended to completely address the entire amount. We have annual appropriations to help for that and continue to need more robust investments there as well. With a second tranche of funding, if the Legacy Restoration Fund is reauthorized, we'll have another fantastic opportunity to start to draw down that $35 billion.
Okay, so if it's reauthorized, how much more money would be allocated for this maintenance?
Sure. They're discussing roughly the same amount, about $1.9 billion over the course of 5 years for both Department of Interior and Forest Service public lands. And it hasn't passed yet, so we'll see. But that it's still on the table for 5 years at $1.9 billion.
Okay, so now that expired last year in August, and we're coming up on August of this year. What's happened to these repair projects in the months since the funding has dried up?
Sure. Well, some of these, you know, many of these are large projects and multi-year. So many that are underway are still underway. Many have been completed. But we do have, you know, closed parking lots, closed restrooms, bridges and roads that are in disrepair across the country and needs to be addressed. And that's important because the Legacy Restoration Fund has created investments across the country that helps local gateway communities. And I can get into some specifics here on that, but in national parks alone, visitors to national parks across the country contributed more than $56 billion and more than 340,000 jobs in the U.S. economy. And then the Legacy Restoration Fund, specifically in California, with the full 5 years of funding, has invested over $978 million towards improving over 330 assets in California, and then in Oregon, it will invest $153.8 million to repair 80 assets. And so those investments create jobs. They help support those local economies that rely on tourism.
Okay, what kind of assets are we talking about?
Everything from roads, bridges, visitor centers, water infrastructure. For example, some national parks across the country even provide water for local communities. So the water filtration and sewage treatment. And these are very large repairs. But any kind of visitor visitor access type of asset like trails as well that you can imagine, boat ramps. There are certain projects that are so large that it's difficult for annual appropriations to tackle those. So those often fall to the types of things that Legacy Restoration Fund repairs.
And what kind of assets are those?
Well, same kind of assets, but often just the bigger ticket projects.
Okay. So one of the selling points of the Legacy Restoration Fund is that it's financed by mineral revenues from federal lands rather than taxpayer dollars. For the average listener, how does a mining operation in Nevada translate into a new trail or a roof maintenance at a park in Oregon?
Sure. So this was modeled after the Land and Water Conservation Fund that passed in the 60s. And the idea was, let's take something from potentially environmentally damaging activities like oil and gas extraction, offshore, onshore, and then invest it in potential environmental protection and conservation. And the Legacy Restoration Fund was modeled after that, and it uses mineral revenues. The first tranche used mineral revenues both onshore and offshore. And in this round, they're focusing just on onshore. That's what's on the table currently. And so it would, again, take this investment, these royalties from potentially environmentally damaging activities, and then invest them in environmentally protective types of activities.
My guest is Rebecca Nufke, a senior officer for conservation at the Pew Charitable Trust. We're talking about the need to maintain our national parks and the renewal of the Legacy Restoration Fund in Congress that provided those needed funds before it expired. Rebecca, I've done a little digging of my own, and I find that there are 872 active mining operations that cover 1.3 million acres of federal land. Does that sound right to you?
You have done your research, Mike. I don't have those numbers off the top of my head. I'm not familiar with how many mining operations there are across the country. But this would include oil and gas types of extraction and also even renewables.
Gotcha. And now, there are also hundreds of thousands of active claims to mine on federal lands. Does the Legacy Restoration Fund's reliance on this revenue create a conflict of interest?
No, I think going back to the original model, I think that on our public lands, particularly if you're familiar with the mission of BLM, let's say it's multi-use. That doesn't mean every use on every acre of land, but that does mean that there are valid uses across our land, which include extractive industry and recreation and higher levels of protection in certain areas. So all of those are valid uses of our public lands, and where we can be able to use the royalties from one type of use and invest it in the protection of some of those treasures that make America great, I don't think that's a conflict.
I think that's a wise investment. A wise investment, I get it. It makes sense that we would use funds, particularly if they're not taxpayer funds, to invest in maintaining and upkeeping our national parks. I'm not understanding the idea that we have to use our public lands to provide private sector mining operations. Do we have to do that?
What I would love to talk about is the opportunity we have moving forward with Congress and the bill on the table to be able to further protect our public lands with the royalties from these operations, which do exist. They have existed for many, many years. And we have a wonderful opportunity to take those investments from royalties on the type of industry that does exist and that we all benefit from in many ways. And invest it towards protection of of our national parks and other public lands.
Okay, let's go back to that point. Mm-hmm. The Legacy Restoration Fund has been identified by the Government Accountability Office as a fund that doesn't track the exact number of unique companies that are mining on public lands, because there's some sort of complex corporate hierarchy and anonymous claims, and so it's hard to track that. So money's coming in to this fund, but it's hard to track where it's coming from. How does Pew ensure that the revenue that's flowing into the Legacy Restoration Fund is being collected fairly and transparently?
Well, Pew doesn't, because we don't manage the funds. Of course, the government does, and the Treasury does. And so those royalties go into the Treasury, and they are there to be used for many things. They're used for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, as I mentioned, Go Mesa, which helps Gulf states with restoration. So it's used for many, many different things. And the government is the entity that ensures that.
Right. And I'm just
looking forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to make sure that we understand where these funds are coming from, because there's been a shift toward what some call partial nationalization, where the federal government now holds direct equity stakes in the mining companies like USA Rare Earth and MP Materials. And if it's holding direct stakes, equity stakes in the mining companies, and it's the regulatory agency that provides access to public lands, as a shareholder in the companies that are accessing these public lands, it sounds like we need to have an understanding as a public that this kind of activity is what is fueling the Legacy Restoration Fund. Is Pew capturing that kind of information?
No, we're not. We're advocating for a bill that will provide funds and revenue for protection of our national assets in public lands across the country. And I think what's kind of important to go back here to is the fact that in Oregon and California, there have been tremendous benefits. Not only to visitation at national parks, from visitation at national parks and across the country that support local economies, but the Legacy Restoration Fund, in addition to the investments to repair these assets, have invested in these local economies as well through jobs, through the contracting and workers who are working on these deferred maintenance projects. And we have a tremendous opportunity in this 250th year to create a legacy once again. Congress had the foresight and the president in 2020 to sign into law the Great American Outdoors Act, establishing the Legacy Restoration Fund. And I'm really happy to say that it's an incredibly bipartisan effort. Currently, we have...
Let me interrupt real quick, because we only have like a minute left. And to your point, Congress, this fund was created in 2020 under the Trump administration, and reports have surfaced regarding private business entities linked to the Trump family, specifically Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump, holding stakes into firms which intersect with the federal mining policy. So when the LRF was designed in and signed into law by President Trump, were these potential conflicts of interest factored into the fund's design?
As I mentioned, in the Land and Water Conservation Fund has been in existence, and that model has been working and functioning for our public lands and now for the Legacy Restoration Fund since the 60s. And it's been a successful model. And now we have this opportunity to pass once again this tremendous bipartisan bill. We have more than two-thirds of the House already signed onto the House bill, and more than half of the Senate. The bills have passed out of both of their respective committees in the House and the Senate. And so now the bill has the opportunity to go to the floor, both in the House and the Senate, and then onto the president's desk for signing, which would be really important in this legacy year of our 250th anniversary.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much, Rebecca. I appreciate the information.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Take care.